Welcome to a deep dive into something I think we all crave a little more of, a genuine connection with nature, but not just on the surface level.
Right.
You've sent us some intriguing material that seems to be pointing towards something much deeper, something almost spiritual.
You hit the nail on the head. It's about rekindling that ancient bond with the earth, a relationship that can get a bit muddled amidst our busy lives.
It's interesting you say that because the source mentioned feeling overwhelmed, lacking inner peace,
right,
even grappling with a sense of purpose as signs of this disconnect.
Yeah.
That really resonates with me, and I'm sure with many out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than just needing a walk in the park, isn't it?
Exactly. It's about that primal link to the earth. And when it weakens, we feel it on multiple levels.
Mm-hmm.
The source dove straight into grounding as a way to address this.
Okay.
Personally, I've always felt drawn to being barefoot, but never considered it as an actual practice.
I'm right there with you. It seems so simple. Tell me more about this grounding. Is it as straightforward as it sounds?
On the surface, yes. It's about direct physical contact with the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Soil, sand, grass, you name it.
Okay.
But what's fascinating is the science behind it.
Okay.
It's thought that the earth's surface has a subtle negative charge.
Mm-hmm.
And our modern lifestyles often lead to a buildup of positive charge within us.
Hold on, are we talking about actual electrons here? Like our bodies are craving an electrical balance.
You got it. Grounding allows for a discharge of that excess positive charge.
Okay.
Potentially reducing inflammation and stress hormones like cortisol.
Interesting.
But it goes beyond just the physical.
Mm-hmm.
The source talked about aligning your energy with the earth's natural rhythms through this practice.
Okay, now you're speaking my language. So we're not just talking about soft grass between our toes.
Right.
There's an energetic shift happening too.
Precisely. The earth has its own subtle energy field, and grounding allows us to tap back into that source,
okay,
creating a sense of balance and harmony. Some even compare it to plugging into a universal energy source.
Oh.
Replenishing and revitalizing our own energy.
That makes me think of those moments when you're truly immersed in nature and feel this incredible sense of peace wash over you.
Yeah.
It's like all the noise of daily life fades away and you're left with this deep sense of belonging.
That's a perfect way to describe it. And while science is still catching up on fully explaining this phenomenon, many people report profound benefits from simply spending time barefoot outdoors.
Okay.
The source highlighted reduced stress, improved sleep, and even a greater sense of well-being.
It's amazing how something so simple can be so powerful.
Right.
But realistically, not everyone can be barefoot all the time.
Right.
What are some other techniques the source suggests for deepening that spiritual connection with nature?
Well, they dug into mindful nature meditation.
Okay.
Which takes the awareness we cultivate internally and expands it outward to connect with the natural world.
So instead of trying to block out distractions, we're encouraged to lean into the sounds of nature. How does that work exactly?
Imagine yourself in a peaceful spot, maybe under a canopy of trees,
okay,
as you focus on your breath.
Mm-hmm.
You also become attuned to the symphony of nature around you.
Okay.
The rustling leaves, the chirping birds, even the distant rumble of thunder.
Instead of pulling us out of our meditative state, these sounds become anchors, drawing us deeper into the present moment.
Precisely. And it's in that space of presence that we start to perceive the subtle energy of nature, that interconnectedness that we often miss in our busy lives.
It's like nature itself becomes the guide.
Yeah.
Gently nudging us to slow down, observe, and reconnect. It's making me think of those intricate mandalas used in meditation.
Yeah.
Nature is like a living, breathing mandala.
Right.
Full of intricate patterns and rhythms just waiting to be observed.
I love that analogy. And just like those mandalas, nature offers endless opportunities for contemplation and reflection.
Speaking of reflections, the source also mentioned incorporating the five elements.
Yes.
Earth, air, fire, water, and spirit into our practices.
Right.
That sounds intriguing. It's like taking this concept of connecting with nature and giving it a tangible structure.
Exactly. It's a way to deepen that connection
right.
by engaging with the fundamental building blocks of the natural world.
Mm.
Each element is associated with specific qualities and energies that we can tap into through different practices.
This is fascinating. So how does this translate into our daily lives? What does it actually look like to incorporate, say, earth or air into our quest for a deeper connection with nature?
For Earth, The source talked about creating a nature altar.
Okay.
It could be as simple as gathering objects you find beautiful and meaningful from your walks in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Stones, leaves, feathers, anything that speaks to you.
Okay.
Arrange them in a way that feels visually pleasing and use this as a focal point for meditation or simply as a reminder of your connection to the earth.
It's like bringing a piece of the outdoors,
right?
A tangible representation of that grounding energy we discussed earlier.
Yeah.
It's making me think of those miniature Zen gardens people create.
Mm-hmm.
A small but powerful symbol of peace and tranquility.
Exactly.
I love that idea of a nature altar as a visual reminder of our connection to the earth.
Yeah.
It's almost like we're creating a microcosm of the natural world within our own homes.
Right.
A place to reconnect with that grounding energy whenever we need it.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the other elements?
Mm-hmm.
How can we, for example, work with air to deepen our experience?
Air, as you know, is associated with breath, movement,
right,
and the invisible forces that surround us.
Mm-hmm.
The source specifically mentioned deep breathing exercises as a powerful way to tap into this element.
Okay.
It's something we often take for granted.
Right.
But consciously connecting with our breath, mm-hmm. especially in nature,
mm-hmm.
can be incredibly grounding.
That makes me think of those yogic breathing techniques, pranayama, right. where you're not just breathing, but actively directing the flow of energy within the body.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a connection there?
Absolutely. Many ancient traditions recognize breath work as a bridge between the physical and the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And when we practice these techniques in nature, surrounded by trees and fresh air,
okay.
it amplifies the experience.
Yeah.
It's like we're tapping into the very life force of the planet.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
Yeah.
It's not just about getting oxygen into our lungs. It's about connecting with the vital energy that flows through all living things.
Exactly.
And the source also mentioned wind chimes.
Mm-hmm.
I've always found them incredibly soothing.
Right.
But I never considered their potential role in a more spiritual practice.
The gentle sounds of wind chimes can be incredibly meditative.
Mm-hmm.
It's a subtle reminder of the constant movement and change that characterizes nature.
Right.
And by extension, our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
They can also help to shift our energy, creating a more peaceful and harmonious atmosphere.
It's like they're giving a voice to the wind, allowing us to hear the whispers of nature.
I like that.
It's reminding me that this deep dive isn't just about intellectual understanding.
Right.
It's about engaging all our senses.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm ready for fire. This one has me particularly intrigued.
Okay.
There's just something so primal and captivating about it.
Fire is fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a symbol of transformation, purification,
mm-hmm.
and the life-giving energy of the sun.
Mm.
The source talked about harnessing this energy through the simple act of lighting a candle.
Okay.
Particularly at sunrise or sunset.
There's a ritualistic aspect to that that I find really appealing. It's like marking these pivotal moments in the Earth's cycle.
Yeah.
Acknowledging those transitions between light and darkness.
Exactly. And you can use that time to reflect on your own personal transitions,
mm-hmm.
to release what no longer serves you,
yeah.
and set intentions for the day or night ahead.
Okay.
It's about connecting with the cycles within and without.
It's interesting how these practices, while simple on the surface,
right,
seem to tap into something much deeper.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason these elements have captivated humans for millennia. They're not just scientific concepts.
Right.
They hold symbolic weight.
Yeah.
Okay, on to water. I have to admit, I've always felt a strong pull towards being near water,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the ocean, a lake, or even just a babbling brook.
You're not alone.
Mm.
Water holds a powerful allure for many people.
Yeah.
It's associated with emotions, intuition, flow, and purification.
Okay.
The source emphasized spending time near natural bodies of water whenever possible,
mm-hmm.
allowing ourselves to be cleansed and renewed by its energy.
There's something so calming and meditative about watching the waves crash on the shore.
Right.
Or listening to the gentle flow of a river.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the weight of the world lifts just a little bit.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And even if you don't have easy access to large bodies of water,
mm-hmm.
you can bring this element into your home.
Okay.
The source mentioned the soothing qualities of indoor fountains or even just a simple bowl of water placed in a quiet corner.
It's about creating a space for reflection and contemplation, bringing a little bit of that watery peace into our daily lives.
Exactly.
It's interesting how each of these elements requires a slightly different approach, yet they all lead back to that same core concept of connecting with nature,
mm-hmm.
which brings us to the most abstract of the elements, spirit.
Right.
How do we even begin to connect with something so intangible?
It can seem daunting, but the source offered some beautiful insights.
Okay.
Connecting with spirit in nature is less about a specific practice and more about cultivating a sense of reverence and awe for the natural world. Okay. It's about recognizing the interconnectedness of all things.
So instead of trying to define or quantify spirit, it's about approaching nature with a sense of wonder and appreciation, recognizing the divine in the everyday.
Precisely. It's about acknowledging the sacredness of all life and our place within that intricate web. Mm-hmm. It could be as simple as expressing gratitude for the trees that provide us with oxygen or the sun that nourishes us with its warmth.
It's about shifting our perspective from seeing ourselves as separate from nature to recognizing our inherent interconnectedness.
Yeah.
And from that place of connection, we can begin to tap into a deeper sense of purpose and belonging.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful concept, but I imagine it can be challenging to maintain that level of awareness in the midst of our often chaotic lives.
You're right. It's an ongoing practice.
Yeah.
But luckily, the source outlined additional techniques for staying connected to that sense of awe and wonder.
Okay.
One that particularly resonated with me was aligning ourselves with nature's rhythms.
Okay, now you're speaking my language. It's one thing to appreciate nature's beauty.
Right.
But to actually synchronize ourselves with its cycles feels like next level connection.
Mm.
Tell me more about this idea of aligning with nature's rhythms. It's one thing to appreciate the beauty of a changing season, but to actually attune our lives to those rhythms that feels different, almost like an ancient practice we've forgotten.
It is ancient.
Yeah.
For most of human history, we lived in sync with those cycles.
Right.
The moon, the seasons, they weren't just pretty backdrops. They were the backbone of life.
And now there's this disconnect.
Right.
We're expected to operate at the same pace with the same energy year round.
Yeah.
So where do we even begin to get back in sync? The source mentioned the moon specifically.
It's a great place to start.
Okay.
The lunar cycle is tangible. Even in a city, you can usually glimpse the moon. Each phase has its own energy and symbolism.
Okay, break it down for me.
Think of the new moon as a blank slate, a time for fresh starts and setting intentions. As the moon waxes, growing fuller, it's mirroring the energy of growth, of taking action on those intentions.
And as the moon wanes, shrinking back down.
That's the time for release.
Okay.
For letting go of what no longer serves you, whether that's a habit, a project, or even a way of thinking.
It's like the moon is this cosmic coach guiding us through these natural cycles of growth and release. What about aligning with the seasons, though? They feel so massive compared to the moon.
It's less about specific actions and more about an internal shift. Winter, for example, is naturally a time of dormancy in nature. Instead of fighting it, we can lean into rest, reflection, and conserving our energy, just as animals hibernate.
So instead of beating ourselves up for not launching a million new projects in January,
all right,
we can embrace that slower pace, allow ourselves to recharge.
Precisely. Then, as spring arrives with its burst of growth and renewal,
yeah,
our energy naturally shifts too. It's a time for new beginnings, both internally and externally.
Okay, I'm feeling this. What about the energy of summer and fall?
Summer, when nature is in full bloom, is a time for outward expression,
mm-hmm,
for action, connection, and really savoring the fruits of our labor. Mm-hmm. Then autumn arrives, and just as the trees shed their leaves, it becomes a time for us to let go of what no longer serves us, of old patterns, and to prepare for the cycle to begin anew.
It's amazing how, even though we may not be farmers tied to the land, these seasonal energies still subtly impact us.
They're woven into our very being. And the more we can align with them, the more we're working with, rather than against, the natural flow of life.
Which brings us to our final technique from the source. Nature journaling. We've touched on it throughout our conversation, but I'm curious to dive deeper. What makes this practice so impactful for connecting with nature?
It cultivates presence, something we've talked about a lot today.
Right.
When you're journaling in nature, your focus shifts from your internal world to the world around you. You're not ruminating on yesterday or planning for tomorrow. You're truly here.
And in that space of presence, we open ourselves up to a deeper level of connection.
Exactly. It also helps us develop a keener awareness of the subtleties we often miss. The way the light filters through the leaves at different times of day, the intricate patterns in a spider's web, the subtle changes in the air as the seasons shift.
So it's not just about writing poetic prose. It's about engaging all the senses, paying attention. Any tips for someone new to nature journaling? What kind of things should they be writing about?
It can be as simple or as elaborate as you like. Describe what you see, hear, smell, feel. But you could also use it for reflection. What emotions are coming up for you in this moment? Does this place evoke specific memories or insights? Are there any patterns you're noticing in nature that mirror patterns in your own life?
It's like having a conversation with nature, using the journal as a bridge between your inner and outer worlds. I love that.
And the beauty is you can revisit those conversations over time. You can see how your perspective has shifted, how your connection with nature has deepened. It's a tangible record of your journey.
This deep dive has been incredible. We've covered so much ground, from the science of grounding to the spiritual practice of aligning with nature's rhythms. As we wrap up, is there one key takeaway you hope our listener walks away with?
Reconnecting with nature isn't about grand gestures. It's about finding small, meaningful ways to weave the natural world into our everyday lives. It's about approaching nature with a sense of curiosity, reverence, and a willingness to listen to the whispers of the wind, the wisdom of the trees, and the quiet guidance of our own beating hearts.
Beautifully said. It's about remembering that we are a part of nature, not apart from it. And that in reconnecting with the natural world, we reconnect with a part of ourselves we may have forgotten. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and until next time, keep exploring.